Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast here for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. We are just honored that whatever you're doing right now, whether you're exercising or relaxing or driving somewhere, that you would tune in to our podcast. We are discovering that this is a great way for us to begin to build some connections and help build disciples of Jesus Christ, which is our mission here at the church. We've actually started to get a little bit of feedback, and we just want to say thank you so much to those of you that are letting us know what's going on. We know each podcast may not be a topic of interest for everybody, but we always like getting feedback and the helpfulness of how these podcasts help. And so I'm D.A. Bennett. I'm one of the pastors here at St. Andrew's. And of course, in studio with me today is one of the other pastors, my good friend, my good colleague, the woman with the great shoes, Pastor Stephanie Greenwald.
Yes.
How are you today?
I am just doing great. Thank you for asking, and thank you for encouraging us to do this podcast series. I think it is really, obviously, very timely, and I'm excited about what we learned last week. Friends, if you were with us last week, you know that we gave you sort of a history of where Halloween came from, which I think is really important because in today's culture, we just kind of celebrate it.
We just kind of go with the flow.
We don't really know what it means. And so Pastor D.A. was so great to help us understand that. And these are kind of the things, in case you didn't get to be with us, or if it's, you know, been a week or so since you listened, here's the recap. We talked about how October 31st really was considered a pagan holiday about the 8th century, where as part of the pagan customs, they would wear costumes and they'd give treats to ward off the evil spirits. They would kind of try to hide from the evil spirits so they wouldn't know who they were, and that's why they dressed up. But then we also talked about how there were not just pagan roots, there were Christian roots to this holiday as well, which was really All Saints Day, where the Catholic Church decided to honor the dearly departed saints who they believed were in what they call purgatory, and they were to pray for those departed saints so that they could move on from purgatory. And so they would honor those people by dressing up like them. So that was then kind of how the Christian tradition got mingled in. And then we also know that Halloween has become a very commercialized holiday. Companies make billions of dollars every year through candy, through costumes and parties, things like that. And it also has become a holiday where people really focus on community. We connect with people we wouldn't connect with in other ways. And that's become a very important part of it as well. But today, we're going to look at not the history of Halloween, but we're going to tackle some pretty big questions. Two of those being, what should Christians believe about Halloween? We know that living our lives as Christian people, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that should make a difference in everything that we say and do. And so what does that mean for us in the celebration of Halloween? And then also, is celebrating Halloween something that followers of Jesus need to avoid? So I am excited, as always, to have our expert in studio with us, Pastor D.A. And so I'm excited
I'm
to hear
start,
what you say about
it. Posting little sound bites of this when I'm feeling down that I get called an expert and other things.
Exactly.
Stephanie, those two questions I think are critical because when we approach the end of October and we know Halloween is coming and we know our church has Fall Festival and our youth go to a costume bowling party, those are questions I'm always prepared to try to answer for people when they have questions. And I think a critical part is really some of the stuff we covered in the last podcast of the roots and the foundations of how this celebration and what it's evolved to down through the centuries.
Right.
I think it's important that people understand that. But even understanding all that, that's a question people have. If I'm a Christian, should I celebrate Halloween? Should I allow my kids to go trick-or-treating? Should I hand out candy at my house? I mean, those are important questions. And I have to chuckle just a little bit when I think of the possible outcomes of how that question can be answered. Mm-hmm. Because when we think of doctrine, you know, churches are about doctrine. We think about doctrine or a doctrine that all churches believe. We would all believe that the followers of Jesus must be baptized. However, we don't agree on the specifics of baptism in the church. There are different practices and different understanding. Right. The Bible's very clear. Go baptize. Mm-hmm. But the Bible has no clear statement on a celebration of Halloween.
Right.
And so just like believers might differ on the understanding of baptism, we're also going to find that people have differences in what they understand about the celebration of Halloween. And so it's not our intention to force an opinion or even really expect all to agree. You know, our call is not to always agree. Our call is to always love.
Right,
and so what if even if we disagree, I hope there's love between brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I think what might be helpful is, again, for us to talk about some of our experiences in answering the question, because we do know our experience can influence what we think and what we believe and how we feel about this. And if I may be so bold, I want to offer an experience that I had. Back when I was in seminary, I was hired to be a youth minister at a new church plant. And it was the first year of the church. The church was about 4 months old. And my starting date was October 1st, 1984. So when I arrived, one of the things that I learned was the youth and the sponsors of the youth group had already planned to put on a haunted house. That was something they were going to do on Halloween. The only thing I really remember about that was I had to buy a mask so I would have a costume.
Of course.
You know, it's like, what's the cheapest mask here? I'm a broke seminary student. But the other thing was I had to go buy some dry ice so we could put that in a container of water so that the ice would melt and put up the fog. And it would look, we had a girl that was like a witch, you know, the green face from the Wizard of Oz and all who was stirring her witch's brew, her witch's potion, whatever it was. And it seemed to go pretty well. And so the next year, everybody said, well, let's do that again. That was a lot of fun. And by this time, we now had a full-time pastor. The founding pastor was a professor in my seminary, but they had a pastor that was appointed full-time, and when I got there that night, he explained to me that he had spent a lot of the day fielding calls from other people about, why is the church doing a haunted house? Why are you doing all this? And honestly, I'm really not a big Halloween guy anyway. I'm not a fan of Halloween. I'm not a opposed to things people do a lot of times. I'm just not a fan. And a lot of that did come from that tape I'd listened to in college where the guy talked about all the pagan and all the evil. And, you know, that certainly influenced a lot of my early thinking and feelings. And so I kind of walked away from that thinking, I know the pagan roots, didn't really consider the Christian roots, but I knew the pagan roots. And I didn't want to do something that dishonored God. And so personally, Halloween's just not something I'm really into. I mean, we do pass out candy if we're at home, because we're not always at home.
But,
you know, we'll do that. We do make kids say trick or treat, and we do make them say thank you. If they just hold a bag out in front of us, we're like, yeah,
why are you here?
What? So how about you? Any good or bad or weird experiences that you've had that kind of influence your perspective and your practice?
You know, for sure. You know, very similar to what you're saying in that Phil and I are just not really all that into Halloween. We don't discourage participation in the fun activities, but we're just not big fans of it either. But the interesting thing to me is I remember this growing up. I remember it then again after Phil and I became parents. I feel it even now. But this idea that, you know, October, as much as we love it, and pumpkin
greatest
spice
month of the year,
and your birthday, fishing.
It's actually Pastor's Appreciation Month, so I want you to know I really appreciate you.
Thank
I love
you.
Being in ministry together with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you as
Thank
well.
You.
It's Mutual Admiration Society. So
let's go buy some shoes.
Let's do exactly right. Orange pumpkin shoes. So, but I do remember feeling like, other than all the love that I have for the month of October also just weird stuff sometimes just happens. Right. And you kind of begin to sense that, I think, a little more as you get a little older and kind of knowing some of these more pagan traditions that are related to Halloween. But like in particular, I remember when our girls were really small and we would watch the Disney Channel. You know,
right.
That was usually good, mostly clean, fun, good shows. But then October would hit. And it was like, I couldn't even let the girls watch the Disney Channel in October because it got scary. And, you know, I can't hardly watch television. That's part of what I love about mostly watching Netflix now is I get to choose what I watch. But when you're watching, you know, primetime television and you don't have any control over the commercials, I usually have to turn them off because they're scary.
Yeah.
And I just don't. I don't know. That for me over the span of my life is something I think of when I think about October and Halloween.
I have the same kind of things. I often notice October is one of those months you'll be watching TV and a trailer for a movie that's coming out in the theaters comes on. And we just kind of look at each other and go, "Yeah, that's not the kind of movie we want to go see."
You know? Uh-uh.
We don't need scary things. We don't need slasher, bloody, gory.
Right.
I mean, that seems to be somehow connected to Halloween for some people that would come out on television, movies and everything.
Well,
so,
let me add one more thing because I think this is interesting. I'd be curious to get your take on it. I find it interesting with people in general, just humans, the way that our nature sort of is, that, you know, like Paul stated, that we have this battle that goes on inside of us. You know, so a lot of times we do what we don't want to do and we don't do what we should do. And, you know, this battle that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. And I find it interesting when it comes to things that are a little bit scary, things that are a little bit on that side of the fence, that there is something in us that's sort of drawn to that at times, you know, naturally sort of like, oh, we like to be scared a little bit or we like to be that feeling. I do think when we give our lives to Christ, then that tends to be sacrificed with the flesh at times. But I just find it interesting that at Halloween, there seem to be a lot more opportunities for people to give in to that kind of desire of the flesh.
When I hear you saying that, the word that comes to my mind is curiosity.
Uh-huh.
That, I mean, again, you and I both grew up in Christian homes and grew up, and, you know, that tape I listened to, that might have been part of my attraction, was I was curious to know more about this because I certainly believed in the existence and sometimes even the prevalence of evil.
Yeah.
And knowledge is power. You know, we want that. We satisfy that curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, what happens is, curiosity
push
satisfied.
Yep.
Keep it at arm's length.
Don't
keep
need
it
any
at
more
a
of
distance.
That.
But that's part of the weird thing is some people are attracted to that darker side and believe, you know, that there's something to be embraced there. And that's kind of scary to us because we don't want people to be consumed with or I can't really think of the word I'm using, but I don't want them to be tempted and
attracted by
something that dishonors God and draws people away from Christ. And I think that's part of the Christian response is don't do anything that has the appearance of evil. Don't do anything that might draw you away from a relationship with Christ.
Right. Yeah.
So, well, one of the thoughts that I have is, again, thinking that in October, you know, movies, TV shows that come out that you're just kind of, don't want to watch this.
Right.
Well, I have noticed that another trend is that some churches try to use scary things that can happen to us in life in order to try to tell people you don't have to live this way. Jesus is a better way.
Right.
And two instances I think of, one that I've heard of the most is actually hosted by a church in Tulsa. And of course, both of us have lived in Tulsa.
Right.
But it's called The Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And what this church does is they actually go to great lengths to build these sets and have actors that are paid to portray some of these evil deeds that people experience. I mean, it's literally, it's kind of a baptized haunted house, but instead of Frankenstein's monster and witches and it's, you know, drug addiction, overdoses, and evil things that we experience. And people pay admission to go see that. In fact, I looked at their website, and it's you can pay this to go once, or you can pay this to go as many times as you want. And it's like, who would want to keep going back to that?
No.
You know, unless it's like, oh, I got to bring all my non-Christian friends, and maybe they'll give their lives to Jesus. For them, it kind of is an evangelism strategy. And another other churches I've heard about actually have something called Hell House. Mm-hmm. And part of what that is it may show some of the same things, like somebody overdoses with drugs, but then you go to the next set and, okay, so now they're in hell and they're being taunted and tormented.
Oh, yeah.
And so essentially it's a haunted house that portrays frightening images of what it would be like for somebody to be separated from Christ for all eternity. Now, personally, I would never go see one of these. Mm-hmm. I would never pay to go see one of these. But what are some of your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I mean, I agree with you on that. I would never want to do that. In fact, when I lived in Tulsa, I remember I had friends in high school that went to that, and I didn't have any desire to go to that. But, you know, I think it's interesting in our day and age, we are a very visual, experiential society. You know, I think about hundreds of years ago, that wouldn't have been a tactic.
No.
Used. I mean, the tactic that was used was preachers would get up and preach fire and brimstone.
Yeah,
they just
say,
tell
colonial
you.
Colonial Puritans that banned Halloween would never have had a haunted house.
No, that's exactly right. They would not have. That's right. And they would have been a little more direct and just said it. But I understand the tactic. And I do believe, too, that the heart behind that is probably good, and that they are really trying to let people know that hell is a reality.
Right.
Again, I don't necessarily agree or appreciate the tactic that they use, but I do think it's interesting because also in our day and age, we struggle with the fact that even many churches deny the existence of evil and hell.
Right.
And, you know, that can be just as dangerous as plummeting headfirst into it, because if you don't believe that there is one, you won't know that you need a savior, you know?
Right.
And that's always sad to me too.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, one of the things I frequently think, and that pastor I worked with when I was in seminary, when we were doing the haunted house,
mm-hmm.
I remember one of the things he said to me, and I've always carried this with me, he says, you know, I think life can be scary enough.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
That there's enough things we deal with that we don't need to create things to scare people.
No.
So, you know, I don't like to see slasher movies.
Right.
And I'm really not personally interested in using that as an evangelism approach. I'm more of a help people know the love of God and be attracted to the love of God kind of person.
Yep.
And so, yeah, like you, I'm not going to condemn what they're doing. I think in their hearts, they're trying to bring people to faith in Christ. It's just not a method that I would want to use.
Yeah.
So in response to that, there's another practice that's much more common.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that we've used here at St. Andrews and continue to use, and that is something of a fall festival or a carnival or a trunk or treat as a, you know, safe place for kids to get candy without the evil things we talked about last week. So share some of your thoughts on that.
You know, I think it's a really good thing for the church to claim things that were once used for evil and use them for good. I think that that's a positive thing. You know, when I think about, and don't quote me on this, folks, because I'm not an expert on this, but I remember in one of my classes that I've taught, a book that I've mentioned before on the podcast, The Epic of Eden, I've listened to the author of that, who is a seminary professor, and she talked about the fact that, you know, in the beginning, and even in scriptures, we see this throughout, that God was using the signs in the stars and the sky to help people know what was going on. Well, in this day and age, people tend to use that for evil. When you're talking about, you know, trying to look in the sky for
astrology,
signs of, exactly, which is not good, not what God intended. But I just on the flip side of that, I like evil tends to claim some things that were intended for good. I think it's good when we as Christians claim some things that were intended for evil. Back to good. So I feel like with the trunk or treat, that's a really great thing, because what we are again focusing on is something that happened, like you said, in the 1900s. Halloween became more about community.
Yeah, I love that. When I was doing that research and I discovered that, I thought, you know, that's really what we try to do with our fall festival.
Yeah.
I have heard, you know, again, we don't all agree. I've heard some Christians say, you know, they're calling it fall festival, but they're really celebrating Halloween. And again, I think one of the things that Jesus was very clear about in his ministry was, what is the attitude of your heart?
Right.
And the attitude of our heart is, it's a community gathering. I mean, the fall festival that we do was something that started before I became pastor here. And when I came, I certainly didn't have any problem with it. My church in Tulsa had done something similar. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, in both churches, there was kind of this instruction that, yeah, wear your costumes, kids, have fun, but let's not have any monsters or,
scary, demons,
anything like that. And one of the things, my first year here, people were like, well, you know, this family ignored that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this family is kind of new to our church. Mm-hmm. And when they're part of the community, we can't say to our people, you have to dress this way.
Right.
But the community can dress any way they want.
Exactly.
And so I just tried to help them understand, look, again, I'm not really into Halloween. It's not really my thing. But when you invite the community, you have to receive them however they come. Funny story, gosh, so many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, our church was asked to help the church that Robin and I were married in. It's now merged. It's not there. But their church was trying to do a trunk or treat. And it's a different kind of neighborhood, different socioeconomic class than what surrounds St. Andrews. Uh-huh. We were more of an inner city kind of situation. And this, you know, you're trying to guess. Some people you can guess exactly what their costume is, and sometimes you have to look and try to guess.
Right.
And this kid came up, and he had on a purple pinstripe suit and a tie, and wearing gold chains, and had some money, you know, in his lapel pocket. And, you know, somebody goes, "What is he? What is he?" Yeah. And I said, "I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I guess." And so he comes to your station. Hey, what are you? And I got it right.
Really?
He was a pimp.
Oh no! Oh my goodness!
You know. And so, we would never encourage anybody to dress as a pimp for Halloween.
Right.
But that says something about the context of the culture that he was around.
Yeah. Right.
And so, for that church, it was helpful for them to see, this is what some of the children in our community are growing up with.
Yeah.
And,
right.
So,
interesting.
It's just interesting things you learn. I think Fall Festival as a community event is a great idea.
Well, and I love what we do with, you know, with our trunks, and people just go all out. If y'all listeners have not been to our trunk or treat, you need to make your way here.
We have families. It is a competition.
It is. And as some of you know who've been in church the last few weeks, the staff are doing a trunk this year, and we are going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah. Have you got your costume yet?
I do. I got it in the mail
yesterday. I've got to order mine.
It is just awesome. But I haven't picked out the shoes I'm wearing yet, so I got to figure that out. But
we all look forward to seeing those.
It's very important. So.
And if you're curious at all, just think cheese. That's a clue.
That's
that
the clue
we're giving people.
That's
is
exactly
cheese.
Right.
So when we think about fall festivals and we think about a community event, I want to suggest there are three things that I think can be helpful to people with this approach. The first is, considering Halloween, again, know the roots of this celebration, this day, whatever you want to call it. There are some pagan roots to the current celebration of Halloween, and some pagan groups do continue to celebrate Halloween as a pagan festival. Personally, I believe in the existence of evil spirits and don't believe they are something to be overly anxious about, but they're also not something that should be taken too lightly.
Right.
So knowing the roots of this event can be helpful in conversations with other people.
Yeah.
Secondly, and I think we are both in strong agreement on this, we got to leverage the culture. When there is neutral ground for celebrating things, the church can leverage that for sharing the good news of the gospel. That, you know, Jesus did this with fishermen by going fishing with them and then calling them into a relationship where they would fish for people.
Yeah.
Our fall festival is for us to engage the community in something that the community is attracted to. The community is going to do this.
Right.
And if it's kind of neutral ground, it's something that we can use to leverage to build relationships and accomplish our mission of making disciples. And so know the roots, leverage the culture, and then the third thing, and this to me is of utmost importance, celebrate God's goodness.
Yeah.
That's really what a festival is, that
yes.
God provides for our food and our needs, and Halloween and even into Thanksgiving, people celebrate harvest time.
Yeah.
Part of the goodness of God is that God doesn't simply look at what we do or what we don't
mm-hmm.
do. God looks at what the motivation of our hearts is, and
yeah.
celebrating God's goodness in a way that attracts and builds relationships with people,
mm-hmm.
I think that brings honor to God.
Oh, that's a good word. That is a really good word. Thanks so much for sharing this with us and last week for giving us the history on things. This has just been really important. Friends, I hope if you have people in your life who are questioning Halloween and what that looks like in being a Christian, I hope you'll share this podcast with them so that they can have a deeper understanding of the roots of that, and then also how we can leverage the culture that we are in, and definitely how to celebrate God's goodness. So friends, thanks so much for listening today. Again, please comment or give us some ratings. Help us to know. Give us some feedback how this is helping you. It always helps us to know how God is using this in your life. And again, we'd love to see you here at St. Andrews. We've got services every Sunday morning at 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. You can always find us on Facebook Live or YouTube Live at 8:15 or 10:50 as well. I hope that you are having a great October, and we pray that your Halloween and all the holidays that you celebrate this year will just be a blessing to you. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street in Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.